Dr. Chang is with the Boston University. She's a postdoctoral research fellow. There we go. Postdoc research fellow in the Health and Disability Research Institute, the HDRI. Thank you for coming.
Hi, everyone. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about community participation, health, and quality of life in the homeless population. And this study is part of my dissertation study, which I just finished back in May. And I worked on this project with my advisor, Dr. Christine Helfrich, in Sargent College in Boston University. So I'm going to share about the outcome with you guys. Okay, so talk briefly about the background. So as most of you guys know, that homelessness is a growing social and public health problem in developed countries. Based on the literature, we found without adequate housing, individuals lost a key foundation to fulfill life goals, so they had problem of getting employment, education, and participating in social and leisure activities. And restriction in community participation may be followed by depressive symptoms, functional limitations, morbidity, and mortality. Okay, so first we talk about community participation. What is community participation? First, it is a key indicator of successful rehabilitation, and it is related to many other outcomes such as health functioning and quality of life when people did the research, especially for people with disabilities. Although it's important, if we read the literature, we can find there's no consensus of the definition of community participation. People have like different meaning, and some people would say community integration or community participation or participation. There are very different names for that. So we did a literature review and systematic literature review, and we came out with the definition for community participation, which should be active involvement in activities that are intrinsically social and either occur outside of the household or outside of the institution or as part of a non-domestic role. And so distinguishing community participation from home participation or institutional participation is particularly important for some populations. For example, for people with social or cognitive limitations. If you think about, if you go out, reach out into the community and participate in the community activities, and it probably means that you have to interact with more people or different people or strangers instead of people that you're already familiar with within your household or within the staff in the institution. So that means like pretty different from what you usually do in domestic life. And especially for homeless people or those who just leave the institution or stay in the institution, that's like a totally different story. And especially when we talk about the institutionalization, that's pretty important that we need to know if people really participate in the community or they spend most of the time within the institution. So what are the needs for this study? First, we found although there are some studies talking about community participation, but most of their populations are people with disabilities. There is very little research talking about community participation within the homeless population. But that's what we want to know, because we don't want to just put homeless people into congregated housing or just say, okay, you guys just stay there and then we just leave you there and you have a house or you're all set. But we want to know if they're really integrated into the community and what they actually do in the community. But we don't have much information about that. And there's limited literature examining the impact of housing on community participation, as we said, because there's not much literature about housing, homeless, and community participation. And the next question would be, in this population, is community participation really related to their health and related to their quality of life? So my study aims include, first, I wanted to describe and compare community participation among people who are currently homeless and people who are housed through housing programs. And the second aim was to examine the association between community participation and health and quality of life. Okay, methods. So this study is a cross-sectional study. It's a secondary data analysis. The original study was from Dr. Helfrich, and she had a RCT study and longitudinal intervention study, and looking at, she used a life skills intervention for people who are homeless to see if their life skills got improved from baseline to after intervention and follow-ups. But for my study purpose, I only used the T1 data, the baseline data, to look at whether those associations were significant in microsectional study. And totally, we recruited 149 people, and from three housing search programs and three housing placement programs, including Housing First and housing stabilization programs. And the final sample was 120. And I had a couple of measures. The first one I wanted to talk about is community participation scale. So this scale was created from this study. So it includes two domains. One is vocational participation, the other is social and leisure participation. We actually had more items in more domains that we wanted to look at, including medical healthcare use and other activities, or chores, or people go grocery shopping, more stuff. And we found when we did validity and reliability tests, we found they didn't fit into this whole scale that well. So we had to leave them out from this scale. We could go back to look at those items, but for now, we could not include them into our community participation scale. So finally, we had 21 dichotomous items, and we did confirmatory factor analysis, and it actually loaded into those two domains pretty well. And we did the Cromba alpha analysis, and the internal consistency for the whole scale was 0.83, and for each of the subscale was good, 0.8. So we also measured the quality of life, and it's the subscale of a whole survey called CASIS, Clients Assessment of Strengths, Interests, and Goals. It's usually used in people with mental illness, but we had that in our larger study, so I could use that for this study purpose. And it includes 10 life areas and ask about your satisfaction for your life. And there are 4 points: poor, fair, good, excellent. And for self-perceived health, there is only one item for this one, is how do you rate your own health? So it includes poor, fair, good, and very good, excellent. It's the question from the survey SIP, Survey of Income and Program Participation. Okay, so I'm going to jump to the result. So for my sample, 120 people, the average age was 48 to 49 years old, and they're 60% of males and 40% of females about, and the majority of the race were white and African American. And for the educational level, the majority of them have a high school degree or GED or even above, like some college, or there are even 20% of people have a college graduate or more. And the majority of the sample, about 80% of the sample, are single, widowed, separated, or divorced. So one-third of the sample was from housing search program, and two-thirds of the sample was from housing placement program. And the average duration of homelessness in this sample was 5.3 years, and the number of times would vary from 0 to 30 times. And their self-reported diagnosis of mental illness was about 64%, 65%, and about 60% of them had a history of substance abuse. Okay, so now let's look at the comparison of community participation between people who are homeless and people who are housed through housing programs. So we got a very surprising finding, because what we expected from either from Maslow's theory or from the literature review, we expected people who are housed should be able to participate more in the community because they have the shelter, they're safe, and they have most of the basic needs they have. However, if you look at this table, the t-test analysis showed that people who are currently homeless actually showed more, or we say better, community participation than people who are permanently housed, and the difference was significant. And if you look at the subscales, it's very apparent that for work, people who are currently homeless, they work more, and people who are currently housed, they actually didn't have that much work participation. And same thing for social and leisure participation. people who are currently homeless, they had more social leisure, they do more social leisure activities than people who are currently permanently housed. So that's really striking and different from what we expected. And if we look at the correlation analysis between health and quality of life and community participation, that's not surprising because we knew it, like we expected, like there is a positive correlation between health and community participation because we think the more you participate, the more you're socializing with people, the better you have work or education, that's probably would increase your health and quality of life because you're integrated into the society and you're integrated into life. So that's just like what we hypothesized, all the relations are positive and significant. And we did the multivariate analysis that we controlled for age, gender, like demographic characteristics, disability and housing status, all these things, and the relationship were still significant and positive. And particularly the social and leisure participation has the higher association with quality of life comparing to vocational participation. And same thing with health. So it means like social and leisure participation plays an important role and it is really correlated with community with quality of life and health. Okay, so we jump to discussion. Okay, so first thing we need to discuss about is we found currently homeless people have shown more community participation, and what are the reasons? So first, the explanation that we can think about, the first one is because we found temporary accommodations are designed for short-term stay. That means, for example, like some people usually stay at the emergency shelters, which means those shelters do not want people to stay there for every day from daytime to nighttime. So they have to leave out of the shelter and to do something in the community instead of staying at the shelter all the time. And from the literature, we found some literature interviewed people who are homeless and found people who are homeless actually have negative perception about their shelters. They said those shelters are unclean, dangerous to stay, and they didn't like to spend too much time in the shelter. And that's why it's kind of like they forced themselves to go leave the shelter as much as they could. And that's why they had to be in the community and find something else to do, like going to the library, just to take a nap or just read some books and do some more stuff. And we also found because people who are currently homeless, they had to they have to find food, they have to find shelter. Like they have shelter tonight, doesn't mean that they can find shelter tomorrow. So they have to go out and kind of like try to find more shelter and food, like for their basic needs. And they try to find stuff to do, like to do some leisure activities or get some free event that they can go to. In comparison, people who are permanently housed, they usually have their own kitchen or they can just sit down and read a book, enjoy themselves at their own place. So they do not have the need that they have to go out and to interact with other people outside of their house. So, however, because we didn't have more qualitative study like in this for this information, so these are all the possible explanations from the literature, but we need to do more qualitative study to understand what's the actual reason behind this fact that we found. Okay, and then we found there's significant association between community participation and quality of life and health. That gives us a really good implication to practice and to research that community participation is very important outcome indicator that needs to be addressed in study. And especially social and leisure participation, we found is particularly related to health and quality of life. So that means when we do intervention to people who are homeless, we should not ignore this part, but it's usually ignored in most of the literature or most of the research because we thought, oh, leisure or social is not what we're concerned about. We just need to know that they don't have illness and that's good for us to know and that's it. But this part is really important with their quality of life, so we need to really know this part as well. Okay. Then, of course, we have some limitation for this study. First is we only have 120 people, and that's a small sample size, and most of them are recruited from Boston area. So we do not know if this result can be generalizable to a rural area or other cities. And I know, like the other presenters said, like Massachusetts is really special because we have the medical insurance. So if we look at, when I looked at the healthcare use part, I found a significant difference from what literature that has been done in California or other states said. And because it's a secondary data analysis, so I have a limitation of what measurement tools I can use. For example, the community participation scale, I only had dichotomous items like yes, no, did you do this activity, yes, no. So I don't have frequency, I don't have if you have difficulty of doing these activities, I don't have, are you satisfied with what are you're doing? But I think those information are very important to know. And of course, it's a cross-sectional nature, so even though we see there's positive association between health and quality of life and participation, we don't know if which comes first. Is it because people participate more so they have better health or quality of life, or it's in the opposite way? Okay, so conclusion. First, individuals who are homeless show more community participation than people who are permanently housed. And community participation was significantly associated with health and quality of life. And the implication for practice and research, the first I think is important is to know that housing is not the end of recovery. So even though we have all those really good, like great programs like Housing First and Housing Stabilization, we have people to, they're able to be in the house, but it doesn't mean that we can leave them there and say, okay, we're done, and we can just go out to reach other people. Because we found they're in the house, but they don't really reach out in the community as much as what we thought. They don't have work, and most of them, they don't have a job, and they don't participate in social and leisure activities that much. So that's really important for interventionists to know. And we found positive association between participation and quality of life and health, so that confirms that we need to do more things about community participation. So, and then we need to develop a better measure of community participation. Just as I mentioned, like we have like some dimensions and more, even more domains that we include. Like I have a healthcare items, but I could not include in this scale. But I think healthcare is also very important to know how they participate in the healthcare services in the community, especially for people who stay in the shelters. Usually they have the healthcare in the shelter, but we want them to reach out in the community instead of do everything within their small, where they're very comfortable with. Like we want them to be integrated in the society. So that's what we may need to know next for the next step. Okay. So, and this is, this project was funded by the NIDER grant, which was funded by my advisor, Christine Helfrich. And I also appreciate my committee member on my dissertation, Dr. Wendy Koster, Dr. Sally Rogers, and Dr. Tim Herron. Okay, that's it. Thank you.